Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Welcome back to the Red Sox Precap Podcast, a podcast from the Over the Monster Podcast Network, where we recap the series that just ended, preview the series that's about to start. I'm your host, Keaton DeRocher, joined by our fearless leader, Dan Secatore. Dan, welcome to your first ever podcast?
First ever. Well, first ever. I am pumped. I'm a little nervous.
Couldn't happen after a better series.
No, it could not. I don't know what we just watched. I really don't.
Yeah.
I mean, I do know. It's actually kind of exactly what I expected to happen, but...
Yeah, moments after the Red Sox dropped this, got swept by the Blue Jays.
Bases loaded, no outs.
Yeah.
By the way, I just looked this up. Do you know... Bill James actually keeps that as a stat on his website. Have you ever heard of this? He calls it a Houdini.
No, I didn't know there was an actual name for it.
There is. So, yeah. So, every time a team escapes, a base is loaded, no outs, jam, he calls it a Houdini. You want to take a guess at how many times it's happened this year? It's actually a little more than I would have thought.
I was going to say three.
Three?
Yeah.
It's actually happened 59 times in Major League Baseball.
Holy shit.
Yeah. That was 60.
There are
a lot of baseball games.
That's true.
Every time a stat pops up and I'm like, wow, that happens a lot, I'm reminded that there are, what, like 2,400 games a year?
Yeah, I guess that is a relatively small percentage then.
Yeah. So, yeah, there you go. Houdini number 60 on the year. Recorded by the Toronto Blue Jays against our Boston Red Sox.
Great. Thrilled to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's dive on in then. Game one, Josh Winkowski versus Ross Stripling. Red Sox take the loss 9-2. Winkowski goes 2 2/3 innings pitched, 6 runs, 6 earned on 6 hits, 2 walks, and 2 strikeouts. Austin Davis followed, allowing 2 runs in an inning, 2 1/3 innings. The 2 runs that he allowed came in that third of an inning it took to finish off the 3 innings he piggybacked on Winkowski. Then Familia, Sarmura, Brazier, and Reese McGuire even got in there. Finishing off the game, Sarmura allowed a run in his inning of work. It was a three-hit day for Devers, two for Pawecki, and that was pretty much it from the offensive perspective. Winkowski was then sent down after this start, but what were your thoughts on his performance?
I mean, what do we not know about Josh Winkowski right now? He's not a major league starter at the moment. I still have some hope that he could be. You know, he's clearly a little bit gassed. I think he's either gassed or the league is starting to figure some things out. Not that he, you know, was ever burning through the league in the first place. But you know, this is a guy who doesn't belong in the big leagues right now. He just doesn't.
Not even in a bullpen role?
I'm fine. I mean, hey, like Jake wrote on the site, I'm fine throwing him in the bullpen. I mean, the thing with Winkowski, and you know, look, let's face it, this season's over. So everything that's happening for the next 5 weeks is all about 2023 in the future. With Winkowski specifically, he cannot be in this rotation next year on opening day. We know that. And he's probably, for me, I don't want to see him any higher than eighth on the depth chart next year. I mean, this is a guy whose ceiling is a back-end starter, and that's fine. You need back-end starters. But, you know, when you're talking about a prospect whose ceiling is a back-end starter, who can't miss bats in the major leagues right now, like, I don't think... Yeah, put him in the bullpen. Let's see what happens. You know, why not? This isn't, I'm not too concerned about messing up his development when his ceiling's so low to begin with. He can't be in the rotation next year. So why not? Let's put him in the pen. You know, everyone's worried about his stuff not playing up in the pen. That's probably true. But then again, every starter's stuff improves when they're moved to the bullpen generally. You know, they get a couple extra ticks on their fastball. So yeah, let's do it. I don't know. Why not?
Is he the next Brian Johnson, where he's the Red Sox sixth starter for the next 8 years?
Is he the next Brian Johnson? You know, frankly, I mean, I wouldn't hate it if he is. I would, speaking of the two sixth starters who pitch in this series, I mean, I would obviously prefer that Crawford be in that role. Compared to the two of them, but yeah, I mean, if Winkowski, I mean, that probably is his destiny, right? If he is going to continue as a starter in the major leagues, it's going to be as a guy that goes back and forth between the bigs and AAA and the rotation and the bullpen. In that role, he's fine. If Josh Winkowski ends up being a depth starter for your team, that's fine.
All right, moving on to game two. Bit more exciting to talk about. Red Sox still take the loss.
This is kind of all I want to talk about tonight, actually.
I figured. Red Sox still took the loss, 3-2. But Brian Baio, returning from the injury list, who needs to rehab when you can just jump right back into the major leagues and throw five stellar innings? Six hits, two runs, both earned, one walk, seven strikeouts. Barnes, Whitlock for two, and Schreiber followed, not allowing any runs. And then Brazier came in for the 10th. Blue Jays pushed across. The Manfred man took the lead, and that was it. We had a two-hit day from Verdugo, McGuire, and Cordero, one of which was a homer. But thoughts on Baio's performance?
So I'm going to say something that initially is going to sound bold, but then you're going to think about it, and you're not going to be able to disagree. Brian Baio's outing last night was the most impressive thing done by a Red Sox rookie since Rafael Devers took Aroldis Chapman deep in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, I don't think that's super bold.
Okay, never mind. I thought you were thinking it was more bold.
Well, I was thinking of like Red Sox rookie single game performances, a pretty low bar.
Yeah, that's, and I guess if anything, it's sort of, it's a sign of, of the player development of the past 5 years.
Yeah. But that doesn't take anything away from performance. Performance was spectacular.
No, it was amazing. I could not have been more impressed by him last year. All you needed to see, I touched on this a little bit in the piece I wrote about him this morning. Like, just some of the faces the Jays hitters made after some of his at-bats. You had it's starting with the first at-bat of the game, where he strikes George Springer out on 3 pitches. And then, like, go back and look at Springer's just looking back out at the mound. He's not mad. It's just like a wide-eyed look, like, huh, I didn't think I was going to see that today. And then Vlad Guerrero follows it right up. He strikes out on 5 pitches. He goes back to the dugout. He is nodding his head at Lourdes Gurriel in the on-deck circle, just being like, okay, yep, that was the real deal. And then the best one of the game was Matt Chapman in either the fourth or the fifth, one of those innings where he had to wriggle out of trouble. He started him off with a changeup that Chapman was completely fooled by, swung right through it and was pissed at it, and gave Bayo one of those like baseball tough guy nods, you know, where he's like, oh, okay, kid, you got me. Bayo comes back, throws the exact same pitch, and now Chapman is like seething, and then he follows it up third pitch. So after 2 changeups that are diving at his ankles, he throws like a 97 mile an hour fastball up and out over the outside corner of the plate. Chapman doesn't come close to it and is just like absolutely pissed walking back to the dugout. His stuff was unreal. He was in the zone all night. He was working quickly. And when you consider like the situation he walked into, I was so psyched about it. I think I was happier in that first inning than I have been watching the Red Sox in a long time.
Yeah, Jack and I talked about when on the last Red Seat episode, when the Red Sox were hinting at going to Bayo here for the start with no ramp up, just toss him right back into the major leagues. We were like, we're a little worried about how that could turn out.
Yeah.
And maybe it's a little bit of mishandling your top pitching prospect. And we were like, this might not be great for his long term development, just throwing him right back into the fire against a really tough lineup.
Well, it was a groin. You know, I'm not like too concerned about a lingering issue there.
No, but not having just kind of going straight from like long toss or just like side sessions back into the major leagues against one of the best lineups in the league, after having a rough transition in his first few starts.
Yeah.
It seemed, and one of them, which I believe was against this lineup already, it seemed like a recipe for just getting blown up again.
That's the thing, though. He hasn't really been blown up. I mean, you're right. Like, his numbers are ugly.
Well, in the beginnings of his start, he's always settled down and looked much better coming out of it.
Right. But yeah, what I'm saying is, even there, like, he has not been hit hard, even in these games where he's given up 4 runs in 4 2/3 innings. He has not been hit hard since he's been called up to the big leagues. Last night was just the first time that his numbers actually stabilized and regressed to how he's been throwing.
Yeah. Which adds to your point about how impressive it was being able to just jump back into the fire against an incredibly good offense. And as you pointed out, absolutely own them. Just wish you could have got a little bit of help from your offense there.
Yeah, that was
which, cool. Speaking of, this was a pretty janky lineup he had behind him there. Some of it was due to injuries and people being banged up, getting days off. But Red Sox threw Dalbec out there at short. Cordero, Ruff Snyder, and Duran all got starts here. Obviously not the best lineup that could have been out there behind him defensively or with the bats. there to support him. But along those lines, with the full organization of names at your disposal, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, what is your ideal lineup for the Red Sox right now?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess, one day after, I'm not quite as pissed about the lineup as I was yesterday afternoon. Just because, you know, seeing Xander and Arroyo and Pham all back in the lineup today, you know, where it was obviously the case where they knew. I mean, look, I still wanted them to do something with the 40-man. I don't know why they've been so weird with the 40-man this year. We don't need Jeurys Familia on the roster. He was awful tonight. He's not bringing anything to the team. Like, they easily could. I mean, they could have made room for Valdez from Worcester. But having said that, like I said, all three of those guys were just out for one game. If you want to get a little crazy and let Dalbec play short, sure, fine. As we've discussed, the season's over. But yeah, going forward, why is Connor Wong not on this team right now? Can you explain that to me?
Reese McGuire is like on fire. Yeah. Right now, but Kevin, I mean, Pilecki, I don't know what you're getting from Pilecki. Yeah, I don't know.
So, yeah. So, like, I want to see Wong. I want to see Cassis, of course. Story's coming back in a couple of days. I don't want to push him too much. You know, he's signed to a big deal, so let's take the time with Story. I love Christian Arroyo. Let's give him a little bit more run. I don't know. I mean, who am I missing? Other than, I mean, that's the obvious ones, right? Like, Cassis and Wong have to be in the lineup right now, or at least be. I mean, they at least have to be in Boston right now.
Yeah. What's your outfield alignment?
We're looking at Verdugo, Kike, and Pham. That's fine with me. That's fine with me. And you know what? We can take, I will say that Tommy Pham injury the other night. This might be a little bit of a reach, but another data point in favor of the Tommy Pham should have been here 3 months ago argument. Because if he had time to practice with playing balls off the monster, he might not have crashed into it and banged up his hip.
True. All right, then let's get to the mess that happened tonight. Game 3, Carter Crawford versus Kevin Gausman. Red Sox took the loss, 6-5. In extra innings yet again, Carter Crawford, 4 2/3 inning pitch, 10 hits, 4 runs, all earned, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts. Strom then allowed a run. Familia, Sawamura, Barnes followed. Schreiber then came in for the 10th, and the Manfred man struck again. Everyone in the starting lineup had at least one hit. We had 2 for Devers and Arroyo and J.D. Martinez, 3 for Bogarts and Maguire. Bottom of the order did a lot of the heavy lifting here, which was really nice to see. They had 4 of 5 runs batted in for the Red Sox. However, all of those hits and the bottom of the order contributing, the Red Sox still stranded 28 men on base.
That's unfathomable.
Yeah, including, as you pointed out, bases loaded, nobody out. In the 9th, just needing 1 run, couldn't get it done. Before we get to all that business.
Third with 2 outs in the 8th.
Yeah. Yep, that too. Not great. No. What are your thoughts on Crawford?
I think he's pretty clearly tiring a little bit. I mean, he still had, what, like 6 Ks tonight?
5.
I want them to be careful. I think he's again, a guy that I don't want in the starting rotation on opening day next year, but a guy who I think has proved his value to a major league team for sure as a depth starter. They know his arm right now. As long as he's not in danger of tiring too much, yeah, let's keep seeing what we can get from him. He's struggling right now. That's okay. You know, we don't need to win right now, but he is going to need to learn how to bounce back and make adjustments after the league adjusts to him. So, Crawford, I'm happy with where what he's doing right now. Where he's at.
Why did the Red Sox suck so much in extra innings?
I mean, the bullpen is awful. Isn't that what the answer always is?
Yeah, probably. That's probably the right answer.
The bullpen is awful. There is one elite pitcher in the bullpen. He couldn't pitch today because he pitched two innings last night. Shriver's gassed. Strom just came back. And then other than that, there is no one they can rely on. So circling back to where we started, let's give Winkowski a shot out there.
Yeah. That's probably the right answer there and the easiest answer.
What do you know what the extra inning record is this year? Actually,
it's not very good. They only have two extra inning wins. The losses are in the double digits. I don't know exactly what it is, but it is in the, it's like 2-11 or something like that. It's something absurdly bad.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
It's not great. And I think it's 8 or 9 of the 11 losses or walk-offs. It's really bad.
Yeah. They are in one-run games or extra inning games, they are 20-21, which actually isn't too bad considering the state of the bullpen.
Yeah. Well, who's your MVP of the series?
I mean, statistically, it's probably Reese McGuire, but I only care about Brian Baio from this series. I can't go with anyone other than him. He's kind of the only player I care about for the rest of the season.
That was the exact thought process that I had, too. I was like, McGuire just did have a bunch of hits, and
he really did.
Probably deserved it, but
he really did.
I'm way more excited about Baio.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Is Reese McGuire the number one catching option for this team next year?
No.
Who is?
Somebody who is not currently in the organization.
I hope that's the case. Although I have to admit, other than Vasquez, I have no idea what the catcher free agency situation looks like.
Wilson Contreras.
Oh.
Gary Sanchez. There's a couple other interesting ones. Catcher is actually kind of interesting. There are some interesting names, but Wilson Contreras is the headliner.
Yeah. Do you see Chaim Bloom going for Wilson Contreras?
I don't.
I don't either.
But you never know. You can be surprised. Anyway, let's take a quick break, come back, and preview the series against the Rays.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right. Up to the minute. Standings. Yeah, at least. Yankees currently leading 76-48. 7 games ahead of the Rays. 69-55. Nice. Blue Jays, 8 games back. 67-55. Orioles 11 games back, 65-59. Red Sox 16 games back, 60-64. The Rays are really freaking good right now.
The Rays are
6-game win streak coming into this.
10
Red
of
Sox,
12 too.
Ew, boy, great. Red Sox are bad right now. They've lost 3 in a row. So this looks like a recipe for success. Pitching matchups for this series, we got Waka versus JT Chargois, Rich Hill versus Springs, Pivetta versus Kluber. What do we think of those pitching matchups?
They're not great. It's Chargois, not Yarbrough? Why did I think it was Yarbrough?
I don't know. Ray's official team site lists Chargois.
Does it? Okay.
Maybe as opener-ish?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, either way, that's our best chance here. This is Springs is pitching really well. Kluber is obviously not Kluber anymore, but he still really hasn't been hit too hard in any game this year. This is not going to go well. I hate the Rays. I really, really do. In fact, to show how much I hate the Rays, I'm going to hijack the pod here for a second, Keaton.
Sure.
We're going to play a game.
Okay.
You're going to play a game, actually. I'm going to put you on the spot.
Okay.
I am going to briefly summarize a mystery ball player's career for you. Very briefly. At the end, I'm going to ask you two questions. I'm going to ask you, one, do you know who this player is? And two, is this player good at baseball?
John Halama.
Okay. You might not be as far off as you think. All right, you ready for this?
Yes.
Okay. So this player was signed initially in 2011 out of Columbia by the Pittsburgh Pirates. He spent 5 years in the Pirates organization, did not advance past Double A. In 2016, he was traded along with Francisco Liriano and Reese McGuire, of all people, to the Toronto Blue Jays for Drew Hutchinson, which is kind of a weird little trade. I have not thought of Drew Hutchinson in a while. So he spends 2 years with the Blue Jays, again, does not advance past Double A. So at this point, he's 7 years after being signed. Has not made the 40-man roster, so he becomes a free agent. Signs with the Marlins. We're in 2019 now. He actually gets a chance to play with the Marlins in 2019 for almost the whole season. Plays all three outfield positions for them. Shows a decent hit tool. Ends up slashing 276, but cannot walk at all. So he hits 276, 312, 416, OPS plus of 91. 2020 is a completely lost year. He gets COVID and hurts a hammy and spends almost the entire year in the alternate site and only gets 10 at-bats. So the Marlins release him at the end of the year. The Indians pick him up. This is last year now. He's a part-time player for the Indians. Hits 268, 305, 398 for an OPS plus of 92. The Indians release him at the end of the year. Chicago Cubs pick him up in November. Does not play a single game for the Chicago Cubs because they trade him to the Rays this spring training. They trade him to the Rays for Esteban Quiroz, a 30-year-old career minor leaguer, guy who has never played a single inning in the major leagues, although he did actually have a brief, decent stint with the Sea Dogs.
I 100% know that name.
You remember that? He was actually a pretty good year. You being a Mainer, I'm not surprised. But nevertheless, 30 years old, not only has he never played in the major leagues, he spent the vast majority of his career in the Mexican League. All right, so that's who this player was traded for, and now he is on the race. So, Keaton DeRocher, two questions. Who is this player, and is he good at baseball?
I mean, I wouldn't know if I didn't have their lineup
right. Yeah,
you're pulled in front of me. What do you mean I'm going to cheat? It's in front of my face. How?
Fair enough.
It's been pulled up in front of my face. I mean, I would not have known otherwise. Yeah. I wouldn't have known the answer to that.
So it is.
So I'm not cheating by saying I don't know.
It is Harold Ramirez.
Yeah.
And the answer to is he good at baseball is he is by far the Rays' best hitter this year with a 142 OPS plus. He's hitting 331 with a 375 OBP. He has 91 hits in 86 games. Who the hell is Harold Ramirez? And how do the Rays do this?
Classic Rays. On his, like, fifth organization.
He's been released three times. He's been released three times. And this is what scares me about I Am Bloom, is that I fear that what really drives Chaim Bloom is not just winning, but he wants to win with Harold Ramirez. And that's a hard thing to do.
Yeah, I think you're right. So, I was getting into the rest of the roster that they're rolling out there. Yandy Diaz leading off. Brandon, I never remember if it's Low or Lau. Whichever it is.
This one's Lau. Right?
Perfect. I don't know. I just told you I didn't know.
There should only be one pronunciation of this. This should, like, Rob Manfred needs to get on this. All Lows are pronounced the same way.
Nate Low. So it's Brandon Lau.
Brandon Lau. Yeah, there you go.
There we go. All right. So Harold, and then Harold Ramirez, third. Yep. Randy Arozarena, fourth. David Peralta, fifth. Manuel Margot, sixth. Francisco Mejia, seventh. G-Man Choi, eighth. Taylor Walls, ninth.
Yeah, not a good team.
But they are on some kind of streak. Yeah. Racking up wins without Wander Franco.
Yep.
Not great. Silver lining, though, the Red Sox do avoid Shane McClanahan. So,
and Wander Franco.
And Wander Franco, yeah, who does own the Red Sox. Yeah. So, great. What's your series prediction and prediction for MVP?
You know what? I'm going to be optimistic here. I think the Sox are going to take 2 out of 3. Xander and Devers are hitting again. They've got Pivetta. Pivetta's been pretty strong the last two outings. We got Waka. So I'm going to say the Sox take 2 out of 3. And the MVP is Harold Ramirez.
All over the place.
Who else could it be? Who else could it be besides Harold Ramirez?
Yeah, I feel like the Red Sox will get one.
That's probably it. More accurate.
Yeah, and my go-to for MVP is always Devers.
Yeah, that's a good fit. I mean, he's heating up for sure.
Yeah. All right, thanks for listening. We have a bunch of great pods that we drop on this network, so hopefully you are staying in tune, and hopefully we are going to revamp our podcast. I have a fresh new lineup for you for next season, so stick with us. But we will keep doing the red seats and the precaps all throughout this season and the off season, and bringing you all that awesome podcast news with the Red Sox. So stick with us there. You can find both of us at Over the Monster, where we write some stuff. Do you have a bunch of stuff you want to plug?
I would like just the whole site is really good right now. Phil is working on a piece for tomorrow that's coming up. I won't spoil it, but it'll be a little bit more analytical. Jake's got a great piece about what to do the rest of the season right now to start fixing next year's roster. Brian has a piece that takes a dig at Chaim Bloom without mentioning his name, which is something that he hasn't done before. I'm excited about that. so the whole site's looking good right now. Everyone should check it out.
Great. You can find me on Twitter at Spoken Keats. You can find Dan on Twitter at
Dan Secatori.
Perfect. Thanks for listening. We'll be with you on Monday to recap the Rays series and preview Minnesota.